LODISH 8.4. Molecular cloning of genes defined by mutations. In the first three sections of this chapter, we described genetic techniques for isolating, characterizing, and mapping mutations. In this section, we discuss the use of recombinant DNA techniques to isolate mutation-defined genes. This approach, often referred to as positional cloning, has revolutionized the study of developmental biology and human genetics by providing a link between phenotypes associated with genetic diseases or developmental abnormalities in experimental model organisms and the specific proteins encoded by the genes inactivated by these mutations. In this approach, as noted earlier, the chromosomal position of a mutation-defined gene is determined with the aid of molecular markers. The normal gene is isolated and cloned from an appropriate DNA library, and then the function of its encoded protein is investigated. Any E. coli and yeast, a specific gene defined by mutations, can be isolated by transforming cells exhibiting the mutant phenotype with various plasmids that collectively represent the total genomic DNA. Those plasmids that carry the gene of interest will restore the mutants to the wild-type phenotype, which can be identified easily. These plasmids can rescue mutants because they carry a normal copy of genes. This DNA rescue approach is feasible in E. coli and yeast because collections of plasmids representing the entire genome are available and can be effectively transferred into mutants. Although individual cloned genes can be introduced into genetically tractable higher organisms, e.g., Drosophila, C. elegans, and mice, these methods are not efficient enough to be used for screening DNA libraries representing the entire genome. Four steps are involved in cloning a mutation-defined gene in higher organisms. 1. Identification of a clone segment of DNA near the gene of interest. 2. Isolation of a contiguous stretch of DNA and construction of a physical map of DNA in the region. This region will contain the gene of interest as well as other neighboring genes. The position of the gene of interest within this clone segment is not known. 3. Correlation of the physical map with a genetic map to localize the approximate position of the gene of interest along a clone segment of DNA. 4. Detection of alterations in expression of transcripts or changes in DNA sequence between DNA from mutant and wild-type organisms to determine which region of the clone DNA corresponds to the normal form of the mutation-defined gene. The specific experimental techniques used in positional cloning may vary depending on the species and nature of the mutation. In this section, we describe some of the common techniques for carrying out each of the basic steps in this approach. Clone DNA segments near a gene of interest are identified by various methods. One of the first steps in isolating a particular mutation-defined gene is to identify one or more clone DNA segments that map in close proximity to that gene. To accomplish this, the gene segregation patterns, either with respect to DNA clones that recognize different polymorphic markers or to specific genetic loci that have been cloned previously, are assessed. For example, suppose you have 100 clones scattered throughout the genome to be used as molecular markers. If one of these markers is present in a high percentage of individuals carrying a mutant allele of the gene of interest, but not in normal siblings, then the DNA clone carrying the marker is located near the gene. In most genetically tractable organisms, many DNA clones mapping throughout the genome are already available. As discussed in the previous section, mapping of a large number of polymorphic sites detected by clone DNA relative to a gene of interest increases the likelihood that a clone mapping close to that gene will be identified. The chromosomal location of a clone DNA segment can be determined by hybridizing it to metaphase or interphase chromosomes from mice and humans, and to interphase palatinized chromosomes from Drosophila. In this technique, referred to as in situ hybridization, clone DNA is labeled in vitro with biotin, a naturally occurring prosthetic group that can be used as a molecular tag or with a fluorescent nucleoside derivative and then denatured into single strands. The labeled DNA is incubated with the chromosomes, which has been treated to separate the DNA strands and attached to a microscope slide. The sample then is prepared to allow visualization by microscopy of regions where the labeled DNA probe hybridizes to the chromosomes. In situ hybridization with a biotin-labeled probe has been particularly useful in chromosomal mapping of DNA clones in Drosophila, because the cytological map of the polyteen chromosomes of this organism is known at high resolution figure 8.23a. When a fluorescent-labeled probe is used, the technique is referred to as DNA fluorescence in situ hybridization FISH. This technique can identify two different DNA segments on the same human chromosome by use of probes specific for each segment. In early studies in which the fluorescent probes were hybridized to metaphase condensed chromosomes, the two sites of hybridization had to be about 3 megabases MB apart to be distinguished. Recently, this technique has been adapted to localizing DNA segments on decondensed naked DNA fibers immobilized on slides or other supports such as agarose. This variation, called FibroFISH, has a resolution in the kilobase range and can be used to order clones on relatively short stretches of DNA figure 8.23b. Specific DNA clones also can be mapped to particular regions of human chromosomes by screening for their presence in hybrid cells formed between cultured human and rodent cells. As discussed in Chapter 6, the human chromosomes in these hybrids typically are unstable, but stable hybrids containing one or a few human chromosomes can be produced. Furthermore, if human cells carrying chromosomal translocations are used, stable hybrid lines can be established in which only part of a human chromosome is represented. Detection of specific human DNA clones by Southern blot or PCR screening of such lines localizes the clones to the chromosomes or chromosomal regions present in the hybrid lines. Chromosome walking is used to isolate a limited region of contiguous DNA. Although complete physical maps of the genomes of many experimental organisms and humans will soon be completed, many genes are now cloned by constructing a physical map of a limited region of the genome containing the gene of interest, whose precise position is not known at the beginning of the analysis. A molecular technique called chromosome DNA walking can be used to isolate contiguous regions of genomic DNA beginning with a previously cloned DNA fragment that maps near a gene of interest. In this reiterative process, overlapping DNA clones are isolated. The process is repeated until a clone containing the desired gene is identified. The first step in a DNA walk is to radio-label the starting clone and hybridize it to a genomic DNA library figure 8.24. After clones that hybridize are identified, their DNA is isolated and mapped by restriction endonuclease cleavage. Typically, only part of the clone DNA fragments hybridize with a labeled starting clone, the non-hybridizing parts extend into contiguous DNA regions. Small regions of these overlapping cloned fragments that extend the farthest from the probe in each direction are isolated, radio-labeled, and used to probe the genomic DNA library once again. In this way, DNA that extends farther away in both directions from the starting point can be identified. The larger the steps taken in a chromosome walk, the faster large segments of contiguous DNA can be isolated. Thus, DNA vectors that are used to clone large pieces of DNA, e.g., cosmids and YACs, are particularly valuable in chromosome walking. Although the starting clone may be considered close to a gene of interest by genetic recombination, it may be a considerable distance from the gene at the molecular level. Physical maps of entire chromosomes can be constructed by screening YAC clones for sequence tagged sites. As mentioned in Chapter 7, segments of human DNA up to 1,000 kilobytes long can be cloned in yeast artificial chromosomes YACs. These clones can be ordered by PCR screening for sequence tagged sites STSs. These are randomly spaced, unique sequences of DNA known to map to particular chromosomes or parts of chromosomes. Figure 8.25 illustrates this procedure in the simple case of 3 contiguous YAC clones containing 6 STSs randomly distributed over the region spanned by the clones. Detecting and ordering a set of YACs for an entire chromosome is done in a similar way. However, instead of subjecting individual YACs to PCR analysis, which is far too laborious, pools of YACs are screened. Those pools in which PCR products are detected then are divided into smaller pools, and the PCR analysis is repeated. This process is continued until a set of YACs is identified, each of which contains at least one SDS, and that collectively contains all the STSs. The detail of a map constructed with this procedure depends on the number of STSs used in the PCR analyses, and the number of DNA clones available for analysis. In the mapping of human chromosome 21, for example, 120,000 clones from two separate YAC libraries were screened in pools. In addition, 14,000 YACs isolated from a library prepared specifically from chromosome 21 were screened individually. By use of 198 STSs, researchers identified 810 positive clones and ordered them into a contiguous map. Physical and genetic maps can be correlated with the aid of known markers. In order for a physical map to be helpful in identifying a segment of DNA that contains a mutation-defined gene, the clone DNA must contain specific landmarks markers that can be identified by genetic linkage. Such landmarks include known genetic loci and DNA polymorphisms. The availability of extensive physical and genetic maps of the genome of the genetically tractable worm C. elegans has greatly facilitated the cloning of genes defined by mutation. In this organism, the genetic map position of a mutation immediately defines a physical interval of DNA within which the gene is located. One strategy for correlating physical and genetic maps is to position polymorphic DNA markers relative to mutation-defined genes. An example is outlined in Figure 8.26, for a defined region of the Drosophila genome. In this example, the objective was to localize the Shibayarshi locus, which is on the X chromosome, in order to clone it. This locus had already been mapped by recombinational analysis with visible phenotypic markers spread along the entire length of the X chromosome. From a collection of Drosophila YAC clones, a 275 kilobytes clone containing the genetic map position of Xi was identified. To precisely locate the Xi locus within this clone, recombinational analysis was carried out using 10 RFLPs, Xi, and a closely linked visible phenotypic marker called scallop testy, which affects wing appearance. All the 23 male SD plus Xi plus recombinants contained the ACRFLP alleles from one maternal chromosome and the HJ alleles from the other. Thus these markers lay outside of the region between the SD and Xi genes. The frequency of the remaining four RFLP alleles D/D, E/E, F/F, and G/G varied among the recombinants. Since the frequency of recombination between any two DNA sites is directly proportional to the distance in nucleotides between them, Xi will be more tightly associated with RFLP closest to it than to RFLPs farther away. For example, the GRFLP allele segregates more frequently with Xi plus than does the F allele. The length of DNA to which a specific mutation-defined gene can be localized by this approach depends on the density of DNA polymorphisms in the region of interest. In humans, it also depends on the number of individuals that can be studied. The more individuals, the greater the probability of obtaining a recombination event between polymorphic markers and the locus of interest. However, the desired gene may correspond to only a small segment of the DNA region defined by polymorphic marker analysis, and other genes may be located in the same region. Further analysis is needed to locate a mutation-defined gene in cloned DNA. Although the analysis described in the previous section may localize a mutation-defined gene of interest to a particular DNA region, it frequently cannot determine which of several neighboring genes corresponds to that specific gene. Here we describe strategies for pinpointing the precise position of the gene of interest within a larger region of cloned DNA. As a first step, genomic DNA from mutants is often subjected to southern blot analysis with DNA probes representing different regions of the chromosomal walk of the normal genome. See Figure 8.24. Generally, southern blotting can successfully identify chromosomal rearrangements and small deletions in the mutant DNA, but is not sensitive enough to identify point mutations. Compared with normal DNA, southern blots of mutant DNA carrying large deletions will often not contain any sequences homologous to the probe, whereas blots of mutant DNA that have rearrangements or smaller deletions will show fragments of different sizes. Point mutations are not detected by southern blotting unless they either destroy or create a restriction enzyme recognition site. Creating a RFLP creation of a new recognition site will result in the loss of one fragment and its replacement with two smaller ones. Conversely, loss of a site will lead to the loss of two smaller fragments and the appearance of a larger one. In general, southern blot analysis will define a region of the genome containing the gene of interest. In many cases, the interval defined may not contain the entire gene, or it may contain other genes as well. Additional analyses, including screening for point mutations and the identification of sequences transcribed into mRNAs in the region, are needed to isolate and characterize the gene. Analysis of mRNA expression. Identification of mRNA encoded by DNA in the region of the desired gene may help to further localize the gene within the genome. Phenotypic analysis of a mutant may suggest tissues in which the mRNA is likely to be expressed. For instance, a mutation that phenotypically affects muscle, but no other tissue, might be in a gene that is expressed only in muscle tissue. The expression of mRNA in both normal and mutant tissues generally is determined by northern blotting or in situ hybridization of labeled DNA or RNA to tissue sections. Northern blots permit comparison of both the level of expression and the size of mRNAs in mutant and wild-type tissues. See Figure 733. Although the sensitivity of in situ hybridization is lower than that of northern blot analysis, it can be very helpful in identifying an mRNA that is expressed at low levels in a given tissue, but at very high levels in a subclass of cells within that tissue. Figure 827. An mRNA that is altered or missing in different mutants compared with wild-type individuals is an excellent candidate for encoding the protein whose function is disrupted in the mutants. Identification of point mutations. In many cases, point mutations may result in no detectable change in the level of expression or electrophoretic mobility of mRNAs. Thus, if comparison of mRNA expression in mutants and normal individuals reveals no detectable differences in the candidate mRNAs, a search for point mutations in the DNA regions encoding the mRNAs is undertaken. The overall strategy is to scan for regions of DNA that carry point mutations and then to sequence that region of the mutant allele. Of several different methods devised to screen for single base changes, two are discussed here. One is applicable to DNA fragments as large as 2 kilobytes, the other to fragments less than about 400 base pairs. In the first method, the wild-type, single-stranded DNA fragment is radio-labeled at one end and then is hybridized to unlabeled, single-stranded DNA from the mutant. By the procedure outlined in Figure 828, a single base mismatch between the normal and mutant strands can be detected. The second method for detecting point mutations, applicable to smaller fragments, depends on the property of single-stranded DNA molecules of the same length to assume different conformations depending on their nucleotide sequence. Single base differences can lead to altered conformations referred to as single-stranded conformation polymorphisms SSCPs that can be detected by electrophoresis on non-denaturing polyacrylamide gels. Figure 828b. One disadvantage of these two methods is that the mutant chromosome is likely to carry naturally occurring polymorphisms unrelated to the gene of interest. These can lead to misidentification of the DNA fragment carrying the gene of interest. For this reason, the more mutant alleles available for analysis, the more likely that a gene will be correctly identified. Now that highly efficient methods for sequencing DNA are available, researchers frequently determine the sequence of candidate regions of DNA isolated from mutants to identify point mutations. Protein structure is deduced from cDNA sequence. Once the mRNA encoded by a mutation-defined gene has been identified, the corresponding cDNA can be identified in a cDNA library using specific genomic fragments that hybridize with the mRNA as probes. Sequencing of the cDNA permits the sequence of its encoded protein to be deduced. This is an important step in linking genetics to the cell and molecular biology of development and function, since proteins with similar structures often have similar functions. As described in Chapter 7, large databases of DNA and protein sequences are maintained and available to biologists throughout the world. Thus, one can efficiently search for sequence similarities between a new sequence and all those previously determined. The sequence of a protein deduced from the cDNA of a newly isolated gene is likely to show similarities with the structures of previously determined proteins. In those cases where the biochemical function of a structurally similar class of proteins is known, it is possible to generate biochemically testable hypotheses. For example, if a newly identified protein is similar to proteins known to regulate the transcription of genes, the mutant phenotype may result from lack of expression of a particular gene or set of genes in the affected tissue. Even if a newly determined sequence does not show similarities with proteins of known function, certain properties of the protein, e.g., whether it is secreted from the cell or spans the cell membrane, may be predicted. In addition, various biochemical and immunological techniques can be used to generate antibodies to proteins predicted from DNA sequence analysis. These antibodies then can be used to determine which cells produce a specific protein and what its subcellular distribution is, e.g., nuclear or cytoplasmic. Again, this information can provide a critical link between the phenotype caused by a mutation and the underlying cellular and molecular mechanisms. Many examples of the central importance of this approach to cell and molecular biology are discussed in subsequent chapters. Before concluding this section, let's return to the Drosophila gene to illustrate further how the phenotype associated with a mutation-defined gene can be related to a specific protein. We saw earlier that RFLP analysis localized gene within a particular YAC clone, see figure 826C. To identify the protein encoded by Xi, researchers then used a cosmid clone containing the Xi gene and flanking sequences to probe northern blots of Drosophila mRNA isolated from flyheads. Compared with the YAC clone, the cosmid clone contained a smaller fragment of genomic DNA and thus is a more precise probe for identifying a specific mRNA. This analysis identified two mRNAs. However, a DNA fragment isolated from the cosmid hybridized to only one of the mRNAs. When this fragment was transformed into mutant flies, it rescued the mutant phenotype, thus identifying that mRNA as encoding the Xi protein. We will discuss the method of transforming DNA into flies later in the chapter. The DNA fragment also was used to screen a Drosophila cDNA library. Sequencing of the identified cDNA revealed that it encodes a protein homologous to mammalian dynamin, which plays a key role in endocytosis. Chapter 16. Summary. The objective of positional cloning is to locate a mutation-defined gene within cloned DNA so that it can be characterized at the molecular level. The first step in positional cloning involves identification of cloned DNA fragments near the gene of interest. The chromosomal location of cloned DNA fragments can be mapped to particular chromosomes by in situ hybridization, or by using them as probes in southern blot or PCR screening of mouse-human hybrid cells containing one or a few human chromosomes or portions of chromosomes. Regions of contiguous DNA can be isolated by chromosome walking starting near a gene of interest, see figure 824, and by ordering of overlapping YAC, see figure 825. Such DNAs can be used to construct physical maps of chromosomal regions of interest. Correlating the genetic and physical maps of a specific chromosomal region is a key step to the identification and isolation of a particular mutation-defined gene. Landmarks on the physical map that facilitate correlation with the genetic map include DNA polymorphisms and chromosomal abnormalities such as large deletions and translocations. Identification of the gene of interest within a candidate region typically requires comparison of DNA sequences between wild-type and mutant or disease-affected individuals.